This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Talking about the disastrous situation with the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid, who I do not believe will play again this season. They haven't said that. It was funny yesterday.
Well, I tell you, that game Saturday with the parlay, man, seriously. I mean, I needed him to get to 20, and we don't play him in the fourth quarter at all.
Well, I mean, they made the comeback without him.
Does Nick Nurse not realize what we're doing out here?
It always benched him.
He didn't talk to media after the game.
Man,
right?
Yeah. Nick Nurse not know what we're doing out here, man?
It was funny. Yesterday, the injury report came out for the Sixers for tonight's game against the Bulls.
Yeah.
And he was listed as doubtful. And 2 hours later, Shams puts out a tweet. He's like, hey, they're looking for, they're going to regroup on Joel Embiid. Just shows you from a communication standpoint, how that
changes
by
an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Well, they usually didn't know if he was playing up until 40 minutes before the game. I mean, this has been for 7 years at this point. So A.J. Brown has been doing a podcast tour, and he was on Million Dollars Worth of Game. That is Gilly's podcast, and that released Sunday
yesterday.
Night.
Yesterday, yep.
And they had a good time on that pod, I would say.
Oh, I bet they did.
Dude, it's funny. Gilly... I think Gilly has the Eagles back more than AJ does. You know, anytime AJ would answer a question that wasn't to Gilly's liking, Gilly would be like, but you know that. It was very funny. So,
it's worth checking out.
Yes, it is worth listening to. I mean, he doesn't need our help with his listeners, right. I think, but definitely worth checking out. So AJ talked about a bunch of stuff. He did talk about his relationship with Jalen Hurts, and here's what he had to say.
The media always want to put out there,
that's
like
Gilly.
You and Jalen got problems. Mm-hmm. Like it's so an people. Issue.
Yeah.
Like it's a. When they ask you, what you think we need to get better at, you said passing.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been talking about the whole offense.
Bill.
You could have just been talking about. But they make it seem like you and Jalen got issues, but
yeah.
All y'all do is win and go to Super Bowls and win Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll be sitting up here lying and tell you that if we never had any issues, like, you mm-hmm. know. We two guys, two alphas who wants to be the best and demand greatness from each other and everyone around us. So some reports are true, some reports aren't true. But me and him good, man. And, you know, we just want to be great. And like I said, we push each other and you know, sometimes, you know, we bump heads. But, you know, that's normal, you know. And don't nobody sweat it.
You know? But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a locker room? Where players didn't bump heads, players
push each other, right? You know, that's what I'm saying. It's so normal, but you know, I think from the history of this team and what like with McNabb and T.O., everything is magnified times 10.
So there you go. Some reports were true, some reports weren't.
That was an awesome answer right there from AJ. I mean, seriously, that was an awesome answer right there from AJ because it was truthful.
Right.
Some reports are true. Some aren't true. Right. I guess some things that And I'm not saying us, because there's so much media out there. And when you're as good as the Eagles are and you have two high-profile players like Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, media coverage comes from all types of angles in today's society. It's not just us, and it's not just local media. It's national media. Stuff gets said, and the national media is going to run with their own narratives. And the further you are away from the city of Philadelphia, usually this truth can get distorted a little bit more. If anything, we're closer to the situation. Yeah, we try to be as accurate as possible.
I think we say stuff that isn't a big deal, that sometimes when it hits national media, they say it is.
It gets blown out of proportion. He didn't say anything that we haven't said. No one said, despite the anniversary of the hypothetical trade, like, no one's been trying to get rid of anybody. The Eagles haven't thought about getting rid of A.J. Brown. The Eagles aren't listening to what we're discussing from the outside and making decisions on their roster based on stuff that's being discussed from the outside. What the Eagles try to do, which I don't blame them, because their job is to pour water on a lot of this so it doesn't fester and grow into something else, right? I've never been contacted by anyone down there about anything I've talked about on the air as if it was false or being made up.
And you've talked about a lot.
And I've talked about it all.
Yeah, right, right.
And I've talked about it all. And from time to time, I'm still down there. So it's not like I'm ducking anybody. And my phone number is there. Howie has my number. Like, I'm an Eagle. So when guys like myself or Hugh or even John Ritchie or even a Seth Joyner, guys that you hear in the media, Barrett Brooks, who's also close with the situation down there, like, when we start talking about stuff and giving our opinion on stuff that are matters of the team, we're usually giving you our honest and truthful perspective. We're not embellishing anything. We're not making something up. We're not fabricating anything, because ultimately we try to protect the brand and protect the Eagles, right? So when he says some things are true and some things aren't, now we're here to deduce, well, what's true and what's not.
Right.
And you as a fan, because a lot of fans want to bury their head in the sand and don't want to face that reality, you take everything as being false. All you guys just making stuff up, just the media making stuff up. Even when the player on the team says it out of his mouth, it's still WIP's fault.
It was funny when we had Jay Glazer on at the at the Super Bowl.
That was another great interview, right?
Yeah,
there.
And we were talking to him, and we said, well, BG said on Instagram that you actually didn't go to Jalen Hurts. He was like, I called BG. BG was lying. It's like, Jalen was lying, AJ was lying, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you consider the source sometimes.
Well, Jay Glazer didn't back off anything he said.
One second.
Anything he said.
Yes. So.
Now, he didn't take it and make it a personal issue with those guys.
Yeah.
He just basically said, well, what else are they going to say? I stick by what I said. I know what I reported, and I reported facts.
That's the thing about AJ usually is what gets him into trouble is the fact that
he is pretty honest,
all the time. I've never heard AJ Brown say something and go, oh, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Ever. Honestly, if he says it, I usually think that's exactly how he feels.
Well, at least from his perspective.
Yes, how he feels.
One of the most obvious examples of that was when he said about Nick last year after the Seattle thing. And he's like, we made Nick look like an idiot.
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right.
Oh, when they changed the play.
Like, no, that was on us. We changed the play.
Yeah.
He's great, man.
Coach up here lying for us. He's not sugarcoating it, and he's letting you know at times I get frustrated with Jalen.
So there was
Jalen may get frustrated with him.
Yeah, some of the reports are true.
And let me just say this, and I'll let you go, Smart.
No.
Being in the locker room, he's right. There are dust-ups. There are dust-ups. It happens. And because players who are used to being in that sort of environment, we've been having dust-ups with teammates since high school. It happens.
And
it happens, high school, college. Don't mean we don't love each other. Now, there are some that get personal, what have you, but the majority of them aren't necessarily that deep and that personal. It's normally in the moment, and if you talk about it and get over it, you usually move past it.
Well, and what we found from BG is that they weren't talking about it and moving past it. And the other thing is, when it's the star quarterback and the star wide receiver, it's going to be a bigger deal than if, you know, Devin White and Cam Jurgens yelled at each other in the locker room.
And here's another thing he was absolutely right about. Yeah, we got PTSD from T.O. and Donovan.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, you know why? Because we know how great they could have been, and we spent 20 years imagining what they could have been had they just gotten along. So, yes, when it looks like the star receiver and the star quarterback, these two of this caliber aren't on the same page, yes, you're going to get some fans that get nervous. You're going to get medias who antennas come out and say, hold on, is this something bigger than what it is? Should we be paying a little closer attention? But nobody's creating anything. Nobody's starting anything. Nobody's gaslighting anybody. We react to what is put out there. And if you leave it for interpretation, then you can't get upset when people don't interpret it the way you intended it for. So when he says passing, instead of going in depth about what he meant, this and any other. Well, then don't get mad when everybody is like, oh, AJ's mad about the passing game.
Right. It's usually with AJ, it's not us guessing, but I bet AJ's mad because he's not getting the ball.
Right.
It's because AJ said he's mad because he's not getting the ball. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's what it is. Like, and if they are okay with it, and it sounds like AJ is like, yeah, it happens from time to time. And he's used that term, we're gonna hold each other accountable. We're both alpha males. He's not telling you that it ain't going to happen again.
I'm sure it will.
That's what he's basically saying. Like, from time to time, that's going to happen.
He also talked, speaking of his honesty, mm-hmm. Kelly asked him about the team being underdogs and not respected. Here's what AJ said.
No, but see, I like when we got that underdog mentality. Philly
listen,
only
though,
win.
I understand it. We not underdogs, man.
Yes, right. We is. We always listen, underdogs.
Listen. No. I don't know. They just won a championship. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I don't know why even Jalen be up there saying he counted out, he doubted it. Man, we ain't doubted. Ain't listen. We went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Then the next year we started off 10-1, and then we lost it in. Now we just won a Super Bowl, but we are not no underdogs.
No. See. Like, but you gotta understand
but
this too.
We have an all-star team, bro.
But you gotta understand this too.
We not no underdogs.
Not letting it go. Like, yeah,
no.
We're not underdogs, bro.
Gilly was trying to get him there. Like, he did a lot. And he just like, nah, we're not. They're again, honesty. Like, yeah. They are they've huge stars everywhere. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. It's not even like they were disrespected in the line. Like,
no, it was a 1-point line.
Yeah, it was a 1-point line. Everybody said, yeah, this team going for the third straight championship. This basically even.
Toss up, yeah. Basically pick them. Yeah, AJ is... It's good.
He's the best. AJ, if you want to come back for 4 hours, we would love to have you in there. Now, this is the one-year anniversary of AJ Brown calling into the WIP afternoon show.
Yep.
Now, as it goes, the context of this, there's a few things, right?
Sure.
It hit the offseason, and AJ, a couple of times on podcast, was actually asked about being traded, I think.
Can I give a backstory here?
Okay. Go ahead.
Here's, because as the leader of this ship, all right?
Whoa.
I said ship.
We
no, I'm talking about leader.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your issue. Now I want to make sure. So... He didn't go to Tampa. You know, that was a red flag. For the playoff game. Seemed like, you know, could be unhappy. So it was a simple trade of him for Patrick Surtain. And then he started getting asked about being traded. So really, a hypothetical trade turned into a real trade rumor that he was asked like the next day on
Kay Adams' show. Right.
Yeah, it turned into a meltdown.
And to be clear, your thing was, would you?
Yes,
it wasn't, is it a rumor? It was,
that's what I'm saying. Even when you said that, I'm like, it wasn't a trade rumor.
No, it was just.
And by the way, Patrick Surtain, first team All Pro.
Right.
And defensive player of the year.
Yes.
Would rather have AJ. Well, I'm just letting everyone know, Surtain's also a good player.
So then, the next step.
Surtain or Devontae?
So we were, I think I was in the studio for it, and we were somehow.
Sitting right there.
Yeah, we were talking about AJ, because I wasn't on the show yet, but I was here that day for one reason.
You were ringing a bell that night.
That's what it was. I was ringing the bell. There. I remember it. So I was here, and we were talking about that. And then also, I think my dad had made some comment about WIP, you know, starting stuff.
Yep.
And I was critical of AJ, but there was a moment where I said about my dad, WIP, you shouldn't criticize us. WIP gave you everything you had, your cars, your house. So that clip somehow made it to AJ Brown of me talking about my dad. AJ Brown tweets out the clip as if if I'm talking about him.
Yes. Right.
And then Darius Slay also chimed in on that.
Yeah.
So that all ended up with, did he DM us saying he would come on? How did
He first tweeted the station.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. And then he DM'd.
Okay. So we were at the game. It was a Tuesday.
Yes, we were at the game.
So we didn't even realize that this had become a thing.
No, I didn't until much later that night because we had a post-game thing at the Stateside Bar in Fishtown or whatever. So So and then it became this huge thing. So
And then we didn't know if AJ really said he was coming on. Like we didn't know if to believe it or not.
Because around this time, if you remember, he was also hacked, quote unquote.
Right. He was hacked.
He was hacked.
which
found out he wasn't hacked.
The whole time wasn't hacked. Yeah. That wasn't written about. real journalism on that interview.
But why was he hacked, though? So what he had put some on Instagram?
No, it was Twitter. I think it was Twitter.
It was all Twitter.
I mean...
He said he was hacked before he started tweeting. He said he got his account back to tweet at us saying, can I come on?
Okay. Yeah. I thought something got tweeted out.
I forget what was tweeted out that he said was hacked. But
right. Yes.
And then the one thing that we don't have... a recording of that I would pay so much money to get a recording of is Buzz trying to verify that it was AJ Brown on the phone and making him FaceTime him.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did Buzz communicate that AJ Brown was annoyed at this process or?
Well, no, because we were on the air in the middle of a segment.
Okay.
While he was trying to grill AJ Brown about if it was actually AJ Brown.
Okay.
Well, how about I didn't believe he was calling until he called.
Well, I spoke to...
I didn't even believe he was calling until he actually called.
So earlier that day, when it was announced that I was
going to... It was a Thursday. It wasn't a Tuesday.
No, you were...
Chickies the next day.
Okay, right. So I would talk to Jack before the show. When it was announced I was going to do the show, but Jack was doing it, I would talk to Jack. What would we talk about? Like 11 in the morning, most days.
Every day, yeah.
And I would take a walk and I would talk to Jack about the show. And I said, hey, are you prepared if AJ calls today with questions? And he's just like, he's not going to call.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, I was hoping.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's trying to will it into existence.
So here was what the... So AJ Brown called, and here is what the beginning of that call sounded like.
Oh, that's so bad. Well, he has called in, Ike. We are lucky to be joined by Eagles star receiver AJ Brown. AJ, how's it going? It's Jack Fritz, Ike Reese here on WIP.
How y'all doing, man?
What's up, AJ?
What's up?
All right, so there's been a lot that's been discussed, right. I guess, about you and what have you. And honestly, I woke up this morning and was surprised about all the stuff about you potentially coming on today. But we're excited. We're excited, man, to have you potentially clear up a lot of stuff that's been out there. First of all, is there anything that you particularly want to clear up and that you have to say?
No, I don't have anything to clear up. You know, I'm going to talk to you guys and answer whatever question you want to answer. Okay. You need answer, but I'm going to give you guys like 10 minutes, and after that, then it is what it is.
Ended up being 20 minutes, by the way.
Yeah. And then the most famous part of the interview, and, you know, Ike, you pretty much QB'd the interview from there.
Well.
Took the bull by the horn?
Yes. Jack's voice sounds about 3 octaves higher than it normally sounds.
Hey, let me just say this. Pretty professional intro there, though.
It was.
Ike Reese and Jack Fritz.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
you said his name first.
I always do.
Okay. So then here is, though the interview is interesting, we should repost. We should put it in our podcast feed or whatever.
We shouldn't.
Yeah, we're going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah, put it on YouTube.
By the way, I think it's still our most viewed YouTube video.
And it's just, there's not even video
there's
of
no
it.
Video. It's AJ talking, yeah.
Here is the moment that we will always remember about that call.
I'm curious, Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, has he reached out, and how are you excited to work with Kellen Moore, and what do you think he can kind of bring to this offense?
Yeah, I'm very excited to work with him. I've talked to him a couple times, but we're not talking about that. You guys want to talk about what happened, so let's talk about what happened.
Well,
I'm going to clear this up, and I'm going to move on. Let's do it.
Oh, man. He almost got tricked into answering. He started to answer. Maybe he was getting... That was toward the end of the
call. Middle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. All I remember is I was just like, don't let this go viral, man. Like, I don't want this to go viral.
You didn't want it to go viral?
In my head, I'm saying, I don't want he and I to go viral going back and forth on the air. Like, that's what I didn't want to happen.
Was that the only question Jack asked?
I believe so.
Well, no, I mixed in a couple others.
Okay.
To be honest, I blacked out most of the interview. I don't really remember it, but I worked some other ones in there. I had to let him know I was there, too.
I just remember he was hot.
He was hot.
And I was like, just calm him down, man. Just try to calm him down just so we can get through this peacefully.
But I think he's talked after the season. It sounds like he gets it better now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that was his first sort of foray into the negative side of being here. Like, he had seen nothing but the positive side of being here. His first year here, they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he just had to experience the end of the season, and I don't think he had been – since he had been here, he had only been celebrated for the most part. And it wasn't as if he was being crucified, but he was – people didn't know where he was as far as whether – did he want to be here? Was he unhappy? Like, what's going on? Because he had given us a couple cryptic answers. And you know how we are. If you leave something there to open for interpretation.
Well, because remember at the end of the year, he was like, I'm not going to say anything if it's not nice.
Yeah.
Don't say anything if it's not nice, whatever. Yeah. Like, he was just being odd towards
the end.
He hadn't talked for three weeks, and he didn't
speak at the end of the season, exit interviews, I don't believe. So, I mean, it was, and let's be honest, the temperature around the team was so hot. Because of the way that the season ended, it's just what it was. It's what it was.
The only time I can remember the temperature around the team being as hot was the end of Andy during the what was the defensive lineman, the defensive end?
Oh, Juan.
Yeah, no, Jason Babin criticizing the fans.
Yes. And with Jim Washburn.
Yeah, yeah. And we had turned on them.
Yeah.
And they were, it was pretty.
The end of the dream team was bad.
Was really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a moment. What a moment, the WIP Afternoon Show. Jack, did you ask him if he would trade himself for Patrick Surtain?
Did not.
Okay.
I wish I knew what my other questions were.
Yeah, you got to go back and listen to it, Jack. He talked to Gilly. You mentioned that he's come a long way on that.
Yeah.
In the podcast with Gilly, Gilly starts saying, well, you know, people make things up and blah, blah, blah. And AJ actually said, they're just doing their job.
Yeah, right.
Journalists are doing their job. They're talking about it. They're doing what gets most reaction, blah, blah,
there
blah,
you
blah,
go.
Blah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It actually seems when he gets mad, he's getting mad at
National.
Or even fans tweeting at him as opposed to media, it seems.
Well, that's the funny thing. Because that's usually what it is.
It's usually fans.
Like, no media member is usually tweeting at him.
At him? No.
Right.
No.
Yeah, no, nobody's tweeting at him.
215-592-9494. We will get back into the Joel Embiid, Daryl Morey situation next. And we are going to Clearwater next week. So, you know, things happening.
Baseball time?
In Clearwater. Maybe a little High Hopes Jackie baseball report. You got it ready in there?
Man, Ike was locked into some spring training ball yesterday.
Were you? No. Okay.
Well, it definitely was on TV.
It was on TV. It was on the radio as well, right?
Yes.
On WIP. Mm-hmm. On the weekends, you can hear it. All right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. A couple of other spots from the A.J. Brown interview I want to get to a little bit later. We are talking about the Sixers and the horrible state they're in. Whose fault it is? Is it Morey's fault? Is it Embiid's fault? Is it nobody's fault? I don't know if anybody's going to go for
nobody's
fault.
Yeah,
it's always somebody's fault.
It's somebody's fault.
215-592-9494. We'll get to the High Hopes Jackie baseball report momentarily. Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
You know, Mad Mike had like a Grinch moment there a little while back. His heart was growing like 10 times the size. I was being moved. And then he opened his mouth again. That was the end of that.
Yeah, his heart wasn't in it, though. You could tell, even when he was being Mad Mike, you could tell he was defeated. That's a good reference there. It was a little, you could tell he was a little happy the Eagles had won the Super Bowl and a little sad that he couldn't celebrate like everybody else.
He couldn't fully enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, because of who he was. I heard it in there.
He painted himself into this corner.
Yep.
Yep. Got to own it.
Yeah.
Being mad at Joel Embiid is, you know, kind of pointless. First of all, if somebody offers me $190 million for sitting around doing nothing, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to ask them if they need to have their head examined. I'm just going to take it. if he doesn't need knee surgery, he needs a heart transplant. And that's been his problem all along. And, when I was in high school, I used to drain my own knee so nobody would see it, so that nobody would say, hey, you can't get on the field and play. I lied my way back onto the field through concussions, which could explain some things at this point in my life. but it was just all about, I just wanted to play, and I wasn't getting paid for it. It wasn't going anywhere. It's just, you're playing for the joy of playing. And, this is kind of the NBA that Adam Silver wanted. Like, it's the stars kind of, dictate what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, my father raised all of his sons with the motto that a man is as he does, not as he says. This has been Joel Embiid since he got here. Like he's not changed at all. He's no different. This was the guy he was when he got here. The Sixers indulged it when he was hurt his rookie season and he didn't take his rehab seriously. So he missed the entire next season and the Sixers didn't do anything about it. So if you're looking for somebody to blame, if you spent money on 76ers tickets, need to look in the mirror and blame yourself. If you expected any different outcome from what the outcome has always been since Joel Embiid got here, and not just Joel Embiid, but the ownership, the front office, all of it. If you expected any different outcome than what we've got, then that's on you. And
let me ask you this.
On me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess can
a lot of us.
Yeah, but Ken, wouldn't you say that a person when they're 20 years old and a person when they're 28 years old, like the idea that somebody could evolve and grow and become more serious about something, I don't think that is. People draft players all the time. Jalen Carter was drafted as a player who didn't take
question marks.
You had question marks. Yeah. Some of the greatest players in the history.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, some of the greatest players in the history of the game were drafted with question marks about their mentality. And I agree with you on the NBA thing as a whole. The only other thing I'd push back on is I don't think his willingness to play hurt could ever be questioned. The guy went out there hurt a lot and came back from a lot of injuries that I think a lot of people, from the three knee injuries, his face broken twice, even playing with Bell's palsy last year. Like, he played with injuries. I think the criticism of him is that he didn't do all he could from a physical standpoint to make sure that he's healthy. But I don't.
It all goes together, Spike. Right. So yeah. I mean, young people can grow, and when you draft guys that are 20 years old, that's part of what you hope is that they're going to become grown men and they're going to grow. Right. I don't mean physically grow, but they're going to grow emotionally and
emotionally
grow
and mentally. Yeah. Yeah.
There's you've got to be wired a certain way, and the one thing that's been evident from Joel Embiid since day one, he's not wired the way Jalen Carter's wired. He's certainly not wired the way Jalen Hurts is wired. So if you don't have a burning desire, like the thing that it might be semantic, but the thing that I will always push back on is I will never refer to Joel Embiid as great. I will refer to him as exceptionally talented, exceptionally gifted, a highly skilled player, but greatness is about what you bring out of the other people around you. And, there's not going to be any point in his career where people are going to look back and say, look at the greatness that he brought to the court that made everybody around him better. That's what separates the great ones from the skilled guys that can just, stuff stat sheets. And that ultimately is going to be Joel Embiid's legacy, is he's going to go down in the NBA as a highly skilled stat sheet stuffer. Try saying that three times fast. And you know, but he's never going to be somebody who's going to be looked at as somebody who elevated everybody around him to a level of greatness like a Kobe, like a Jordan, like any of those guys.
Who did Kobe make better around him?
Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom. They did win two titles without Shaq. Went to three straight finals.
So to me, Spike.
Don't disrespect the Mamba.
Sorry, I should have done that. thanks for the call, Ken. A lot of players were better when they played with Embiid than they playing with Joel Embiid got a lot of players paid. J.J. Redick had the best years of his career playing with Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey's always better when he's playing with Joel Embiid. I agree with Ken to an extent. I don't agree with Ken
completely.
All the way.
Yeah.
I think there is truth to what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I think for you to say, hey, he was this way at 20, so you should expect him to be that way all the way up until 30,
yeah.
I don't think that's fair either. A lot of times teams draft players that have question marks, whether it's physical or mental or whatever it is, and think, you know what? There's enough there that it's worth the chance.
Yeah,
you know?
The biggest thing for me with him, and Ken did make some great points, it's the individual talent of Joel Embiid is what sticks out more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you know individually how great or how exceptional he
whatever words
you want to use to describe him. He was that as an individual. The one thing, I don't know if you can hold injuries against him. That's just, it's unfortunate, right? I know people get on him about the weight and this and that and the other, but he's a big man. He's always been a big man. He's not built like Giannis is built, right, where you're 7 feet tall and you're just 230 pounds, 240 pounds. He's always been – you always knew he was going to be 275 to 300. That's just where his body size is. His lower body is just heavy that way. But there is a skill and a feathery touch that he possessed that you just didn't see from someone his size. The gracefulness that he could move with at times, the skill level that he could show that was Hakeem Olajuwon-like to me, that is unmatched. But not being healthy and not having the postseason moments are the two things for me.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me, not having that time in the postseason where you just went through and even Giannis did it 1 year.
1 year. And
to
even,
where he got a title.
And even you talk about physically, Giannis has been injured in the playoffs for every year since he won the title.
Yes.
They haven't gone anywhere because he's either playing and injured or not playing at all. I think, I agree with that.
It's just the postseason thing for me.
To me, the series that we'll always look back on, they were up 3-2 on the Celtics,
yep.
And he showed nothing in Game 6 and Game 7. And I laid it on Harden, and Harden did disappear, but if Harden wasn't the guy, you are the guy. And the hardest thing to pair Embiid up with another star is that guys like Harden and Paul George, they're great if the guy leading you is an MF-er and isn't like Joel Embiid, you know?
It's funny you bring that series up, because that's the series, for me, if I'm being honest with myself, it's the last time I died on the hill for him. Like, Jack could tell you that. Well, after that game 6, they lost that. I mean, we were over at Chickies and Pete's in Marlton. I remember doing the show on a Friday. Yeah, I guess Game 6 was that Thursday, and Game 7 was going to be that Sunday.
It was that Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. And, boy, people were so mad after that Game 6. They were so mad after the way it ended the last 5 minutes. I'm blaming everybody. I'm blaming Doc, right? You know, blaming Harden for not getting Embiid the ball down the stretch late. All of that. And then the way they came out in Game 7. Man, that really was where I was like, man, I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think. Even though I didn't want to believe it, it was like that was the last hope for me. That was the MVP year, right? That
was
the MVP year. Yeah, that was the year. When we came in here 3-2, boy, my chest was out so proud because they won that game 5 in Boston, man. I'm like, dude, we about to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They going to the NBA Finals. And that game 6 and 7 happened, man. That's where I lost my undying sort of belief in him and in the process per se that it would get done.
The guy who's not letting it happen and the guy who's the best player in game 7 can't be PJ Tucker.
Right.
It can't be PJ Tucker if you're going to win a championship. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Which member of the Sixers are you most frustrated with? Embiid at 38%. Josh Harris moving into second place with 32.4%.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
And Daryl. I got Daryl, the Daryl number down to 29.7.
Wow.
Daryl Morey at 29.7.
How is that possible?
How is that possible?
There we go. What would you have done? I've done the same thing.
Who cares? Yeah. Done the same thing. Noted basketball GM Spike Eskin would have done the same thing.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm just like Elliot, you know? You're basically a GM here in the media. All right, the Phils are in Clearwater. We're going to be there next week. Let's talk a little Phils.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
God, Sixers stuff sucks, man. We got Phils baseball. I mean, it was back this weekend on the radio on Saturday. Hearing Fransky crack the mic again, it was getting a little emotional. It's getting a little emotional here in Fransky.
I'm sure you were.
Yeah, it was like, from Publix Field in Lakeland, Florida.
Is that what it's called now?
Well, no, that's where the Tigers play.
Oh, okay.
The Tigers play at Publix Field in Lakeland, Florida. So
that's the place where I went to the women's bathroom accidentally.
Oh!
When I went with my wife.
A classic story.
It was Lakeland. Yep. Yeah.
Who could forget?
It was Lakeland.
Who could forget? So Max Kepler got a hit.
Beautiful. I saw. Changed his swing, I heard.
Yeah, he's got a new swing.
Good.
Well, in best shape of the live season. Rod Thompson.
Man, move through this fast.
Rod Thompson said he's proud of Taiwan Walker.
I heard him say that.
They're doing a damn good sell job of Taiwan.
I was going to say, are we trying to trade him?
Yes.
Rob Thompson said that he looked better than in his 15-win season. And he said, look, if Rob Thompson's not going to win manager of the year, he could get an Oscar. He goes, I'm so proud of that guy.
Yep. That's why people run through a brick wall for Rob Thompson. He is fired up. We might have saw a little preview of the opening day lineup today.
At least
the top of it.
Who was it?
So Trey Turner is the leadoff spot.
All right, that's what we heard.
That's been telegraphed. Yep. It seems like he's going to get the lion's share of that.
All right, good.
Noted two-hole, Kyle Schwarber.
What are we doing?
3, Bryce Harper. 4, Alec Bohm. Thoughts?
What are we doing?
Come on, man.
Kyle Schwarber's a two-hole
hitter. Yeah. You don't think it's a good idea?
Come on, Bryce.
Hold on. Why do all these reports come out about other guys moving around in the lineup, man? And only one person has moved.
Well, Bryce said he's a three-hole hitter.
And Kyle Schwarber said that, hey, he's just player number 12. He'll be wherever you want him to play.
Except the four-hole.
Again. Bryce needs to play. Just hit second, please.
He's got to hit second.
Just hit second. We don't need to hit lefty sitting back-to-back. Kyle Schwarber doesn't need to be in the two-hole.
Oh, yeah. How about that? So you think so? You don't believe that's how it's going to stay, right?
Well, that's my – I wonder if Bryce is saying, I'm not hitting second.
Well, of course that's what he's saying.
Okay, well, then that might be it. You're getting Kyle Schwarber in the two spot. That's frustrating. He should be bad.
Why not move Bohm up to the two?
Yeah, he could.
And just put – because Schwarber doesn't want to hit four.
Maybe.
Dude, are these guys going to...
I swear to his team, man.
Vibes. Wait till Stubby's back, too. Wait till Stubby's back.
Who's managing the team, man?
Do you guys... No, truly. Do you guys want to win?
Right.
Or do you want to hit a lineup where you want to hit? Grow up. No, I'm serious, man.
Seriously, man.
I'll let go of the Bryce should be willing to play the outfield if they can get a good first baseman, even though he should. But... The batting line, the lineup thing, Bryce is better for the team in the two spot. He's a better hitter than Kyle Schwarber. He'll get on base more. He can move better on the bases.
There's no point to Schwarber batting second.
No. It protects Trey Turner, I think, better. I think it gives Trey Turner a better opportunity to see some pitches with Bryce Harper hitting second. Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
Kyle Schwarber hitting second. That's dumber than him hitting leadoff.
Why does it? Why, you got to explain this to me, Fritz.
Okay.
Or I'll find out when we get down there next week.
This sounds like a threat.
Just saying. Man, why doesn't he want to hit second?
Well, so I think he likes seeing, in his words, he likes seeing the pitcher for a couple of bats in front of him so he gets an idea of what they're doing.
Okay.
So he gets to see two batters.
It's only one inning that he doesn't get to see.
I know.
It's one at bat.
One at bat is what I meant. Yeah, it's only one at bat that is that way.
And for as fun as the lineup discussion is, like we've got a little crazy. It's the first inning. You know what I mean? Like there's
that's what I'm saying. There's yes, not it's the an first inning.
It would make so much more sense if he just hit second and putting Schwarber and two lefties back to back. I know Schwarber was good against lefties last year. We don't need to put them back to back. We don't need to do that. Now he has a good chance of getting on base. So I guess the thought process is Turner and then Schwarber can get on base for Bryce and yada, yada, yada. But no. So hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully maybe it's convincing next week we can get Bryce up to two in this
spot. There you go, Spike. Our 15 home run cleanup hitter is back.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also last thing on Bryce hitting second, and this is very, the higher up you hit in the lineup, the more at-bats you get.
Yeah.
I want our best hitter to get the most at-bats possible.
Yes.
If he doesn't want to hit lead up, that's fine. I get that. That makes sense to me. But hitting second is going to get more Bryce at-bats than hitting third. It's like math.
Does Mookie bat second?
Yeah, I believe so. Otani leads off, and then I think Mookie bats second, yes. Yeah, I know. Judge batted second. You know, like, Trouty batted second.
That's what I'm saying. Well, the Dodgers are putting their two best hitters at the top of the order.
Mm-hmm. No. Believe me. Well aware. Now, did you guys see the ABS system that was
what?
The ABS system? Where the automated balls and strikes?
Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the challenge thing. Yeah.
And Ike, you'll be proud of me. I liked it.
Oh, I don't.
No, you don't like it?
It doesn't take that much longer. It's like 5 seconds. Okay. And then you get the call right.
Did somebody use it yesterday?
Oh, the whole game, yeah. They're testing
it
all.
Well, you say the whole game. I mean, did somebody actually challenge it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been happening all around baseball. Okay. The little challenges. They're testing it out. It's testing in the water. But I think, most Major League Baseball rules, they're figuring this whole thing out.
Resistance initially, and then we learn to love it.
Yeah, and maybe it'll make the umpires better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here,
I'm sure they don't like this.
No, the one guy was hot yesterday. He was like talking to the microphone, like, "All right, challenge." He sounded pissed.
Well, we discussed this for a bit on Friday. My problem with this is if they have the ability to tell you that it's a ball, if the most important thing is to get it right, and they have the ability without any extra time to get every single ball and strike right, then just tell the umpire in his ear every time whether it's a ball or strike and let him call that. What are we doing this on challenges only for if it doesn't take any extra time? It's there. You can just do it. It just seems like it seems unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know.
I kind of like the drama of it, but I hate challenges in general.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm going to miss the nice little arguing with the umpire.
Yes.
It's part of the charm of the sport.
Yeah. What do you think we get a game this year where we are out of our challenges, and there's a blown ball strike call.
No,
we yell about that'll be fun.
No
It'd be
doubt.
Fun to yell about.
If it's going to happen in any city, it's going to happen in this city.
Yeah.
You don't use a challenge that early in the game.
Yeah. What are you using challenge for?
Idiot. Yep.
Now, the way it works, in case you don't know, is you have two wrong ones to get. So now it's not going to happen during the regular season anyway, but at this point, but you have two wrong ones to get. So as long as you're right, you still have those two. So you can challenge as much as you want until you get two wrong.
Now, it's kind of fraudulent because of the challenges that they have for, like, other plays. You know, play at first base, whatever. They can just ask the umpire to review it.
So oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not really a challenge. Right. A bit of a sham.
All right. Is that it? Is that?
Yeah, that's all you need today.
Okay.
Both taste.
Thank you.
No, they're rained out today down in Clearwater.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're about to get Paul Skeens versus Christopher Sanchez. I mean, that's must-see TV.
It is.
Yeah.
How much would they have pitched? Three innings?
About two.
Two innings.
I was going to say yes.
Two innings, yeah.
Baseball is the funniest sport, man. It really is the funniest sport. I can't believe Bryce Harper won't just hit second. Somebody's got to ask him. You said you would hit anywhere 2 through 4. Why are you not hitting second? And he'll say,
again, it was the hypothetical lineup today. You know, maybe they change it around as we go further here.
Well, he'll go, well, you know, Skip just puts the lineup out, and I do whatever Skip tells me to do. These guys are just going to make me... Don't agitate me before the season. You know,
yeah.
Wait until you're 9-10. You know? Let me get agitated at that point.
By the way, what's the date that they ditched the Turner leadoff thing and put Schwarber back in there?
Oh, it won't get to June.
You don't think so?
No, we'll get with March, April. Yeah. There's no way in hell it gets to May. It may get through April.
Yeah, see, I think it gets through June. They're right around 500. And then they're like, bang.
Yeah, because we're going to need June Schwarber.
Yeah.
You know how this goes.
I watched on YouTube the first at-bat of the Mets series. I was watching that yesterday, of the Schwarber home run. And you watch that home run, and you're like, how did we not win this series or even this game? We started it off that way.
Well, and then Zach Wheeler pitched seven shutty.
Yeah. And then we never got another hit.
No.
Well, the last.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Fritz. They better win, Fritz. They
well, listen, win. All you're doing is projecting your Sixers anger towards me.
I am not.
Well,
I was
like
angry about the Phils last summer anyway, when they had the best record in baseball. Best record in baseball, best record in baseball, best record in baseball. All right, coming up next, we'll continue to talk to you about the Sixers situation, 215-592-9494, and talk about what do they do now? What do they do? Like, what is the move that they make moving forward to fix this thing, if possible? That is coming up next. As well, we found out the team, Jack, that is railing against the Tush Push, trying to get it banned.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.